and he expands himself into an unlimited number of forms. Unlimited number of forms. And each form, the reason he expands himself into so many forms is that there are so many different aspects to his personality. Even we have different aspects to our personalities. Sometimes we're in a good mood, sometimes we're in a bad mood, sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're sad. Sometimes we're feeling healthy, sometimes we're feeling angry, and so on and so forth. We have different moods, and we conduct ourselves differently when we're in these different moods. So, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, he also has different moods. And when he is in his different moods, he manifests different forms. He manifests different forms. Like, not long ago, a couple of months ago, was the festival for the appearance of Lord Nrisingadev. Lord Nrisingadev is the half moon, half man, half lion form of Krishna. And Lord Nrisingadev is Krishna when he's in an angry mood. Then he manifests that very ferocious form. When you get angry, you may also manifest a ferocious form. But it's the same form, really. Just, you know, looks a bit different. And when you go to work, you dress one way. When you're sleeping, you dress another way. When you're going on holiday, you dress another way. So there are different features like that to our personality. But Krishna, when he gets angry, then he assumes the form of Lord Nrisingadev. When Krishna is feeling when Krishna is feeling in a very like he is the supreme controller, he is God. When Krishna is in that sort of mood, that he's showing, displaying very clearly that he is God, then Krishna appears in the form of Lord Narayan. Very opulent form. And he's very vividly displaying his power as God. When Krishna is in a very, you could say, noble type of mood. Very regal type of mood. Like a king. Then he manifests the form of Lord Ram. Lord Ramachandra. We celebrated his appearance day about 3-4 months ago. Are we ready? Okay, we're ready. Alright, so, tonight we're celebrating the appearance day of Lord Balaram. And Lord Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna. And therefore he's very close to Krishna. He is Krishna in a like a parental or older brotherly type of mood. This is Lord Balaram. He's Krishna, he acts as Krishna's older brother. He looks after Krishna. And he helps Krishna as older brothers are meant to do with their younger brothers. So when Krishna is in that sort of mood, he appears as Lord Balaram. And we'll explain more about Lord Balaram in a little while, but for the time being we will have our bathing ceremony. So I think we'll stand up to greet the Lord. And
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Yes, well, it's a very auspicious day, the birthday of God's brother. That's very auspicious. Lord Balaram is a very great personality, second only to Lord Krishna. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. From him, everything and everyone has come. But the first person to come, that is Lord Balaram. He is the first expansion of Krishna, and therefore he is the closest person to Krishna. No one knows Krishna better than Lord Balaram, because they're so close, so intimately connected with each other. Therefore, Lord Balaram, sometimes he is known as the Adi Guru, or the original spiritual master, because he's so close to Krishna, because he knows Krishna so well. So it's very interesting. Lord Balaram's character, his personality, is very interesting. That he is not different from Krishna, really. He is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And, of course, different of the expansions of Krishna, as we mentioned earlier, how Krishna expands when he is in different moods, then he expands in different forms. So in many cases, those different forms, displaying those different moods, in many cases, even though they're very great, they're expansions of Krishna, his personality, so they're certainly very great, but in many cases they don't have the potency of Krishna. Just some partial manifestation of Krishna's potencies. That is quite a deep science, actually, the science of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his different features and expansions. Anyway, in this case though, Lord Balaram, he is not different from Krishna. Krishna is known to have all 64 opulences, 64 qualities of God in full. And Lord Balaram, he also has those 64 qualities in full. Expansions like Lord Narayan. Many of you would have heard of Lakshmi Narayan. They are presiding in the Vaikuntha realm, in the kingdom of God, one part of the kingdom of God. So Lord Narayan, he has 60 of those 64 qualities. He doesn't have all 64. Any one of you know one of those four extra qualities which only Krishna has? Yes. The devotee here says that Krishna plays on the flute. Well, many people play on the flute. Ian Anderson plays on the flute. Many people play on the flute. But the thing is, I mean, he's got it, more or less, that Krishna's flute playing is so astonishing that when you hear it, you may faint. Oh, yeah. So that is really quite something. When Krishna plays the flute, the cows become stunned like pictures, completely transfixed. And sometimes when Krishna plays the flute, the rivers start running backwards. And sometimes the rocks melt. Yes. In Vrindavan, if you go there, you'll see there are a number of rocks which have Krishna's footprints in them, and Balaram's footprints in some cases. So, what has happened there is that Krishna was playing on his flute while standing on a rock, and the rock started to melt, and therefore the impression of his foot was very easily left there. So, can one of the ladies please tell us another one of Krishna's qualities which even Lord Narayan, who is also the Supreme Lord, and who is very great, but he doesn't have. Ladies? Yes. Sorry? Well, that is sort of like the end or the effect of it all. That because he has these extra qualities, he's all attractive. But we're talking now about specific characteristics. Ladies? Yes. Well, a good try. Not quite. Well, no. Good try. We've got some very good tryers here. His pastimes are sweet. Well, many people think their own pastimes are sweet. Romeo and Juliet. Modern day sort of Romeos and Juliet. Let me break the suspense. Krishna. We're talking about four. We've only got one right so far. The second one at least is Krishna has a super excellent standard of beauty. Everyone has a little beauty. Even we see amongst the animals that the males and the females, they're attracted to each other. Even amongst the animals, the dogs and the hippopotamuses and the rhinoceroses, they're attracted. So there's some beauty. But Krishna, his beauty is so far beyond anyone else's beauty. It is incomparable. Sometimes when Krishna would walk down the street, people would faint seeing his beauty. Did anyone faint when you walked down the street? Maybe they were horrified. But not because you're so beautiful. Anyway, you're all very nice. I've got nothing against it. But not like that. Isn't it? Not like that, really. Krishna has this unique standard of beauty that Prabhupada explains in Nectar of Devotion, that Radharani was lamenting that Krishna is so beautiful, I just want to see him all the time. And she said that, I want to see him all the time, I would see him all the time, but there is a problem. So what is that problem? The problem was, Radharani said, that I have eyes which blink. Therefore I cannot see Krishna always, because sometimes my eyes blink. And then for that split second I can't see Krishna. But she considered this bad. We blink all the time, don't we? Every few seconds. For so many years we've been alive. How many times have we blinked? But we never noticed. We never noticed really. We certainly never thought that this is a problem, that I'm blinking. But Radharani felt like that. So Radharani, she told Lord Brahma, who is the creator, and he has created the planetary systems and our bodies and everything else. So Radharani chastised Lord Brahma. She said, you are the creator of this universe. You think you're very clever. You have created so many things and you think you've done such a good job. But you have made these bodies with eyes that blink. So I don't think you're a good creator. In fact, I think that you don't know really what you're doing. And she said that, as far as I'm concerned, you are not a very intelligent creator. She said, you are a dunce. You know what a dunce is? Anyways, stupid. In Russia, I just got back from Russia. In Russia, they use a word, it has the right sort of feel to it. The word in Russian is glupets. So, maha glupets. You are just a big fool. And Radharani prayed that in my next life, I want to be a fish in the Yamuna River, and whenever Krishna comes by the river, which is every day, all day, then I can just look at Krishna, because fish have eyes that do not blink. They don't blink. They don't sleep for their entire lives, generally. So that's another quality of Krishna. Then Krishna also, well, one of the ladies sort of got close to it. Krishna, he has his pastimes like the Rasa dance. But the thing is that his pastimes, everyone has pastimes of one type or another. But Krishna's pastimes are just so exceedingly beautiful that they are far beyond any comparison with any of our pastimes. People are fond of love stories, like we mentioned, Romeo and Juliet. But the loving pastimes of Krishna with Srimati Radharani, they're incomparable. Then, the fourth special quality that Krishna has is that he is surrounded by devotees who have a higher level of love of God than the devotees of any other form of God. Now, the thing is, of course, today we're celebrating Lord Balaram's appearance day, not Krishna's. That will be in 10 days, in fact. Same place. So come back 10 days for that. But we're celebrating Lord Balaram's appearance day, and the thing is that he also has those qualities. He also has those exceptional qualities which distinguish him. What to speak of distinguishing him from people like us? But they distinguish him just as they distinguish Krishna. They distinguish him even from other forms of God. Yes. So Lord Balaram is very special. So close to Krishna, so great. So what is Lord Balaram doing? What are the activities of Lord Balaram? This is, we mentioned earlier, very interesting. The activities of Lord Balaram. You might think that seeing he is God, and even amongst the various forms of God, he is so high, and he is right on that topmost level of all forms of God, then you might think that seeing he is so great, that he is simply sitting there, accepting worship, and, you know, accepting respect from everyone because he is so great. But actually, that is not the case with Lord Balaram. It's very interesting, the personality of Balaram. He has a personality, just as we have personalities and different character traits. So he does also. It is not that he is so great, that his personality is so great, that it is kind of undefinable. It's just so big that you know, it's not like an individual type of character, but he actually has his individual nature. and certain likes and dislikes and different features to his personality. But the main thing is that even though he is so great and he is so worthy of being worshipped, but he takes the position of serving Krishna. And he has no interest other than serving Krishna. Yeah. He understands Krishna is God. And he enjoys serving Krishna. So Lord Balaram, he expands himself in different forms in order to serve Krishna in different ways. As far as he is concerned, this is the best thing. And he is God, so he certainly has access to all the best things. So what is the best thing as far as he is concerned? That is to serve. He enjoys that more. You know, there, just to make that point a little clearer, when Lord Krishna returned to Goloka Vrindavan 5,000 years ago, he was sitting there in the kingdom of God, remembering what he had done while he was here. And he was thinking, it was very nice. I was with my devotees were serving me, and we were exchanging our loving feelings. It was very wonderful. Then Krishna thought that, yes, I was enjoying so much, but it seemed to me that my devotees, that while they were serving me and giving me enjoyment, it seemed to me that through serving me, they were enjoying a higher pleasure in serving me than I was enjoying in being served by them. Normally we would think it would be the other way around, isn't it? Who wants to be the servant of the master and be in a lowly position? No one really. And in this case, of course, no one is being paid for serving. They're simply serving free of charge. So Krishna noticed that they were enjoying, particularly the gopis, that in serving me, while they were serving me, they were enjoying much more than me, who was receiving the service. Much, much more. You know how much more? Krishna said that they were enjoying 10 million times more than me. Lot more. So Lord Balaram, he's intelligent. He has understood this point. Where is the nectar? Where is the real pleasure and satisfaction? That is in serving. Srila Prabhupada said one time, there are two types of devotees. One likes to serve prasadam. The other likes to eat prasadam. Srila Prabhupada said, they are both good. But the one who likes to serve prasadam is better. So Lord Balaram, he's very intelligent. He has caught this point that the real pleasure is in serving, not in being served. That the satisfaction is not the same. So Lord Balaram, his activities then are to serve. And he is serving in many, many ways. He serves in all the rasas. I don't know if you're familiar with that concept. There's the concept of there being five types of relationships that may be had with God. You may have a neutral relationship where you just appreciate, oh, he is great. Then higher than that is a relationship of servant. I mean, in the sense of being just like maid servant or hand servant, like that. Then there's another rasa, that is a rasa of friendship. It's still serving, but in a friendly mood. intimately, not like the subservient, but more or less on an equal route, but still serving. So that is a friendly rasa. Then you can serve Krishna as his parent, like Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. They're serving Krishna, but as parents serve a child. Parents serve their children by feeding the children and maintaining them. So they're serving their children. Yes, so that is another type of rasa. Then there is the conjugal rasa, like Srimati Radharani has with Krishna, of being like the girlfriend, or in some cases like the wife of God. This is a conjugal rasa. So Lord Balaram, normally a person will have one type of rasa, one type of relationship with Krishna. Like Hanuman. You know about Hanuman. He is in the rasa, the relationship of servant, humble servant. When Lord Ram embraced Hanuman, Hanuman felt embarrassed. That he is so much greater than me, I am just the servant. But he is embracing me affectionately, he felt embarrassed. A friend would not feel embarrassed, nor would parents like that. Yeah, so normally people are in one relationship, but Lord Balaram, he expands himself in all the relationships in order to serve Krishna more. So in the conjugal relationship, he expands as a gopi in a female form. She is called Ananga Manjari. She is the little sister of Radharani. Then he himself is in the parental relationship. As the older brother, he has that senior position, looking after Krishna. That is a parental relationship. Then simultaneously, he is in the friendly relationship. Parental and friendly at the same time. Then he is serving Krishna like he expands as Lakshman, who is the younger brother of Lord Ram. There he's in the mood of servant, junior, subservient. Then in the mutual relationship, this is very interesting, Lord Balaram expands in so many forms. He becomes Krishna's clothes. He is Krishna's shoes. He is Krishna's Brahman thread. He is Krishna's chair and his bed and his house. And he expands as Goloka Vrindavan. Yes. These are all forms of Balaram. Yeah. So he is expanding in these different forms to serve Krishna in every way possible. Then he's expanding even further. He is expanding as Anantashesh. Anantashesh is a divine, many-headed serpent. And from Anantashesh, in fact, comes the Vaikuntha planet. They're all expanded from Lord Balaram in his form as Anantashesh. Lord Balaram expands as... There are different levels of expansions of Krishna. We don't want to get too technical, but there's one group of expansions. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumana and Aniruddha. So in that group of expansions, Lord Balaram is Sankarshan. Then from that group of expansions comes a second group with the same names. Vasudev, Sankarshan, Prajumana and Aniruddha. He is again the Sankarshan there. And from him comes Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is the form of God from whom this material world comes. That Mahavishnu is an expansion of Sankarshan, who's an expansion of Balaram.
Here's Balaram, partial manifestation. From him comes Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, who is at the bottom of each universe, and from whom comes that lotus on the top of which Lord Brahma appears, and then Lord Brahma creates each universe. And then on top of all of that, he expands again as the super soul. He falls like us and fell into this world and got mixed up in this world and thought that it's a good place. I like Johannesburg. A little bit of hijacking just makes life exciting. Who wants to get bored? And the taxis with their music just love it. So we're so silly that we fell into this material world. We were there with God in his personal association, but then we thought, no, I prefer Johannesburg. Yeah. So in order to serve Krishna, in order to manage this material world, so Krishna can enjoy in the spiritual world without having to worry about all these details. So to help Krishna, to serve Krishna, Lord Balaram has expanded into every atom of the creation and into our hearts to manage everything. So just see, Lord Balaram, he's a big devotee. He's a very big devotee. And you know, when Lord Krishna, we mentioned how he went back to Goloka Vrindavan, and he was thinking how the devotees were enjoying serving him so much more than he was even enjoying being served by them. So then, you know what Krishna thought? Krishna thought, I want to be a devotee also. I want to get this nectar. Why am I missing out? One time I was with one of our devotees, nice devotee, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, some of you would know him. And he's a very senior devotee, he has been for many years, so therefore the other devotees, generally they're prone to serve him. So one day he wanted to serve, he told me, I want to serve Prasadam today. So I said, yeah, of course you want to, go ahead. So he went out to serve Prasadam. Someone made up a plate and gave it to him. Here, this is for you. He said, no, I want to serve. And the devotee said, no, please sit down. Trying to be very nice. And Maharaj, he got angry, he said, no, I'm served all the time. I want to serve. I want some of the nectar. So he carried on serving. So Krishna got that idea. He decided, I want to be a devotee. I want to serve. So then he became Lord Chaitanya. But it is interesting, Lord Balaram, he already got that idea. He already got it long time ago. He's very intelligent. He's very intelligent. Now there's one nice story. It's in Brihadbhagavatamrita. There's a story of one devotee, Gopa Kumar, cowherd boy. He was in this material world, he was a devotee, but he was in the material world and he wanted to go back to Godhead, like we're here, and hopefully we also want to go back to Godhead. So he wanted to go back to Krishna and get out of this rather rotten material world. So he was practicing devotional service. And over a period of time, eventually he became perfect. He went back. It describes how he went back to Goloka Vrindavan and he met Krishna again. So it's a very beautiful description. He arrived there and he realized, oh yes, this is Goloka Vrindavan. This is the kingdom of God. I have actually made it. I am actually here. Oh, I have perfected my life. Then he saw all around there so many devotees and he asked, where is Krishna? Nanda Nanda the dear son of Nanda Maharaj, where is he? And the devotee said, oh, he is out herding the cows, but now is late afternoon, he will be back shortly. So everyone was preparing for Krishna to arrive, and Gopa Kumar, he was waiting. I'm going to see Krishna after so many years or lifetimes of struggling. Now I'm able to see Krishna. He'll be coming soon. He was waiting. Then, in the distance, Krishna came with Balaram and the cows and the cowherd boys. They all came back from herding the cows. So Gopa Kumar was there waiting, and he saw, there's Krishna. He saw Krishna. Krishna was approaching with Balaram. Then he saw Gopa Kumar. And Krishna exclaimed, where have you been? I've been missing you and wondering, where have you been so long? And Krishna came running and embraced Gopa Kumar. And Krishna was so happy to be reunited with his long lost devotee. Krishna fainted on the ground. Now, the other devotees, they didn't know what happened. Krishna does not normally just suddenly faint. So what happened to Krishna? He came, he embraced this boy, and then he fainted or something. Maybe he even died. So what has happened? And then they saw Gopa Kumar and they thought, wait a minute, who is this? We do not know this person. And they became suspicious. Maybe he has been sent by Kamsa. You know who Kamsa is? He is the demon king. He is Mr. Nasty. So they thought, maybe he is a spy sent by Kamsa. And he has poisoned Krishna. Something like that. So they surrounded Gopa Kumar, just looking at him. Who are you? And what do you think you are doing here? And Gopa Kumar, who is surrounding him, they're gradually coming closer and closer. And they were thinking, maybe we should just do away with this fellow. Then Lord Balaram came. He pushed his way through that crowd. And there in the middle there was Gopa Kumar. And there lying on the ground was Krishna. Lord Balaram, he's so intelligent. He, of course, he already understood, because he is God. He is omniscient. So he quickly knelt down, picked up Krishna, picked up his head. Then he grabbed Gopa Kumar, pulled him down onto the ground also. And he took Gopa Kumar's hand and got Gopa Kumar to stroke the forehead of Krishna. Very nicely. And Gopa Kumar got the idea. So he was stroking Krishna's forehead. Then Krishna being stroked so nicely in such an affectionate way by his dear devotee, Krishna came back to consciousness. And the devotees were so happy. Krishna is all right. They forgot what happened before. And they thought, this boy is so nice. He's wonderful. He brought Krishna back to consciousness. They all embraced Gopa Kumar. But you see, it was because of Balaram. He's very intelligent. He knows how to do things in such a way that it just works out so nicely how to serve Krishna. Just like one time, Krishna wanted to marry one young lady named Rukmini. But there was already an arrangement for her to marry someone else, but she didn't want to. It was one of those situations. So Krishna came and kidnapped her in the middle of the wedding ceremony. According to Vedic social custom, that is considered a form of wedding ceremony. Kidnapping. Seriously. It is called the Rakshasa wedding. Now, young men, don't get any of these ideas. But, so Krishna, he kidnapped this girl right in the middle of the wedding ceremony, would you believe? And just took her away. So the girl's brother came, chasing after Krishna. And there was a fight, and Krishna defeated him. And Krishna, when he had defeated him, Krishna did something sort of cheeky. He cut his hair with his sword. He cut this fellow's, his name was Rukmi, the brother. Cut his hair with his sword and his beard, but in very funny ways. So he had a bald patch here, with a whole lot of hair sticking out here, and another bit of hair sticking out that way, and another piece sort of down there, and all these bald patches, they look very strange. Yeah. And Rukmini, his sister, and now the sort of, in effect, the wife of Krishna, she, you know, it's her brother, so she was quite affected by that. And she got very angry with Krishna. So Lord Balaram came on the scene, and he thought, I must do something here. Their marriage, it looks like it's getting off to a bad start. They're going to have a fight. They've been married about 15 minutes. So he went up to Krishna and said, Krishna, how could you do this? How dare you? He is now your brother. He is your wife's brother. He was now your brother. You've embarrassed him like this. This is very bad. And Rukmini thought, yes. And then Lord Balaram turned to Rukmini and said, well, you know these Kshatriyas, these warriors, they do things like this. And so it's not such a big thing. And Rukmini, she was already feeling sort of, you know, agreeable to Lord Balaram. And she realized, yes, it's true, they do things like this, don't they? And then Lord Balaram turned to Krishna and said, you shouldn't have done that, though. Don't you know that if you offend a relative, it may be worse than killing them? They may feel so embarrassed that they would rather be dead. So you've done a very bad thing. And again, Rukmini thought, yes, that's right. And then Balaram turned to Rukmini and said, well, actually, you know, this Rukmini, your brother, he wasn't such a nice guy. He wanted you to marry that creep, Shishupal. That's who she was getting married to. And Rukmini didn't want to marry him at all. Like a forced wedding, forced marriage. So she remembered, yes, it was my brother's fault that I was going to marry that horrible Shishupal. So, yes, I'm glad he ended up like this. So in this way, Lord Balaram very expertly pacified Rukmini, and eventually she was ready to say, all right, it's okay, it doesn't matter if my brother got embarrassed. And she sort of was reunited, you could say, with Krishna. Like this, Balaram, he's very special. He's very intelligent. He enjoys diplomacy. Or in the sense that he enjoys solving problems, interpersonal problems. He likes it. He likes it when there's a big problem, people are not getting on. He likes to go right into the middle of it and sort it out and get everyone friendly to him. This is Balaram. And he's really expert at prayer. He's very brilliant. He's described as the crown jewel of the wise. Yeah. He's very amazing. Now I wonder, can we just make a little technical inquiry here? When are they going to be ready next time? Sorry? Okay. Oh yeah, I can tell you another incident. Now, this is a very amazing pastime. You may be familiar with the pastime of Krishna subduing the Kaliya serpent. You heard of that? There was this great serpent, Kaliya, horrible serpent. And it's a bit of a long story, but basically Krishna, the serpent had polluted the whole Yamuna River. It was very bad. So Krishna got angry. Krishna decided, I will teach this Kaliya a lesson. Actually, he thought he would kill him. So Krishna walked out onto one branch of one tree by the Yamuna. That tree is still there, 5,000 years later. Huge old tree. Krishna walked out on the branch to dive into the river to fight with Kaliya. And you know what he did before he dived in, immediately before? You know what he did? You don't know. Did two things. First of all, he tightened his belt, as wrestlers do. Yes, before fighting. Then he did another thing. You know what he did? Do you remember? He made a funny sound by sort of slapping his arm like that. You know? That's about. Can anyone demonstrate? I think we'll get them, so he made that funny sound, sort of light-hearted. Then he dived in into the Yamuna. When he dived in, he made a massive splash. Actually, Krishna at the time is only 7 or 8 years old or something like that. So he's just a little boy. But still, when he dived in, he made a huge splash. It was like a tidal wave. The reason is that Krishna, he is not just a little boy, even though he looks like a little boy. Krishna is God. He is the sum total of everything. Everything is within him. This whole universe and all the other universes, they're within him. Even though he looks just like a small boy. So you can imagine, if everything landed in the lake at one time, it would make a big splash, wouldn't it? So, yes, it made a very big splash. So then he fought with Kaliya. But Kaliya, it was just a pastime of Krishna's. Krishna allowed Kaliya to grab him in his coils. And then Kaliya held Krishna. Krishna was apparently just incapable of doing anything. He was held in this crushing embrace in the coils of Kaliya, and it was like he was just completely motionless. So all the inhabitants of Vrindavan there, they were watching. This went on for 2 hours. They were watching. And they were horrified and shocked. What has happened to Krishna? Is Krishna finished? Oh no. They were lamenting and lamenting in most amazing way for 2 hours. Yes. This was, first of all, it was the cowherd boys. They were there with Krishna. Then someone went back to the village and brought all the parents and all the older people. They all came running out to the Yamuna to see what has happened to Krishna. And they were so devastated, they decided to run, to dive into the Yamuna and swim out. and try to save Krishna themselves, which they couldn't do. They couldn't do that at all. So Lord Balaram, he knew, this is just a pastime, that's all. It's not that Krishna is actually unable to do anything and he is just being held captive there. It's not like that. And Lord Balaram thought, you remember I mentioned how he expands as Ananta Shesh, who is that divine serpent, huge serpent, from whom comes the Vaikuntha planets. So he is very vast and very powerful. So Lord Balaram thought to himself, why, if Krishna wants to play games with snakes, why does he bother with this mundane, ordinary, demoniac Kaviya? Why doesn't he play with me as Ananta Shesh? I'll give him a good fight if he wants so. Because God, he likes to do everything. He likes to fight sometimes too. Then Lord Balaram, he understood. He could see. He understood that it's not a problem. It's all right. But he could see that the inhabitants of Vrindavan, because they're so absorbed in their intimate loving relationships with Krishna, they have forgotten that Krishna is God. And they were thinking he's our friend, or he's our son, depending on their relationships. They were just absorbed like that. They forgot that he was God. So they thought he was really in trouble. So Lord Balaram, though, he understood the reality. And he thought, let me just tell them. I'll just tell them. It's okay. Don't worry about it. No problem. He's Krishna, he's just playing, just relax. But then he thought, no. They love Krishna more than me. This is why they cannot understand that he's God now. They're just absorbed in thinking of him in terms of their relationship as friends or parents like that. So out of respect for them and the exalted love that they had for Krishna, Lord Balaram thought, I don't want to interfere. This is just a pastime of Krishna's. He's trying to bring their love up to a higher level. So I will not interfere. So he didn't tell them anything. Although sometimes, Sanatan Goswami, one of our great acharyas, says, sometimes he would turn to them and smile. Like, it's okay. But they would wonder, why is he smiling at a time like this? What is wrong with him? So they were trying, they were fainting and getting up and fainting again and then trying to enter the Yamuna to somehow save Krishna. Lord Balaram knew they can't do anything. So I've got to stop them entering the river. They'll just die. So Lord Balaram was trying to stop them. Some of them he would physically stop, grab hold of them and push them back. Some of them he'd call out, don't do it, just wait. And so they might stop. Others he would glance at them in a very sort of, you know, meaningful way. And then they would get some idea that, oh, I won't enter the river. But then, in there, as they're becoming more and more and more affected by the situation, they were trying to go more into the river, more of them and more quickly. Balaram was running up and down trying to stop them. And then Balaram called out to Krishna, I can't stop them. I can't stop them. He called out to Krishna. He said that, my Lord, I've tried to stop them. I can't stop them. They love you too much. He called out that these are not the inhabitants of Vaikuntha, the lower realms of the spiritual world. These are not your monkey associates in Ayodhya. It's also lower, a little higher, but still a little bit lower in the spiritual world. These are not the inhabitants of Dwarka. That's very high, but not as high as Vrindavan. These are not the inhabitants of Dwarka. These are the inhabitants of Vrindavan. They know no one but you. And Balaram called out that even though they have spiritual bodies, eternal bodies, which cannot die, but they are about to die. They're about to die. So he called out to Krishna, "My Lord, Krishna, Krishna, oh gentle-hearted Krishna, please stop this pastime. Otherwise, your gentle heart will become filled with grief." So when Lord Balaram called out like this to Krishna, Krishna immediately stopped the pastime. He immediately released himself and immediately defeated Kaliya. So you see, Balaram, he's a very special person. He's not your ordinary incarnation of God. Because there's no such thing as an ordinary incarnation. But he's very special. Even amongst all the other forms of God, other than Krishna, he is in a very special position. And tonight, today, is his appearance day. And we are very fortunate. We're very fortunate to be able to come and offer him some respect and to glorify him on his appearance day and share his birthday with him. So I think we're going to have Arti in a minute or two. Any comments or questions? Isn't it nice how the Muslim people next door are so enthusiastic about it? They're also in the mood of glorifying Lord Dharma. We should tell them to go, turn it up. We can't hear it. Lord Balaram, Bala. Well, yeah, this is one final point I'll make before we have our IT. I mentioned right at the beginning how Lord Balaram, because he is so close to Krishna, he knows Krishna so well. He is with Krishna all the time, so he knows Krishna so intimately and closely. So therefore he's called the Adi Guru, or the original Guru, the first Guru. Because he knows Krishna so well, and he can help you so much when it comes to getting to know Krishna. So, Lord Balaram, he empowers those devotees who are acting as spiritual masters. They are said to be representatives of Lord Balaram. Yes. And if you ever get into difficulty in your spiritual life, we hope you don't, but if you ever get into difficulty, maybe you're struggling to chant your rounds, or maybe you're struggling to follow the regulative principles, then you can pray to Lord Balaram for spiritual strength. His name is Balaram. Bala means strength. Not physical strength. All strength, actually. But particularly spiritual strength. Spiritual strength is not like, you know, you have big muscles like Alfred Schwarzenegger or whatever his name is. Arnold, did I get it wrong? Oh, sorry. Shame. Actually, he's got much bigger muscles than Arnold. But he doesn't look like some sort of, you know, something's wrong with him. He looks very nice. So, he gives spiritual strength. Spiritual strength is what you need. And it is that thing which allows you to be free from the, you know, the pulling influences of this material world, which will try to drag you away from your spiritual life. Yeah. You know, the attractions to intoxication, illicit sex, like meat eating, gambling, and all the other things in this material world. The strength to be able to withstand the influence of those, and to be, in other words, to be able to ultimately just be happily free from those things. That strength, that comes from Lord Balaram. But it comes from Lord Balaram through the spiritual master. So if you happen to be having a little difficulty in your spiritual life, maybe, you know, the material world is kind of pulling you down a bit, or trying to, you're struggling to maintain your standards in spiritual life. How many of you are chanting?